Hi, welcome to vLectures. Banking Fundamentals, we are on Chapter 3, Banking Regulation Act 1949. In the first two chapters, we saw banking evolution from the ancient banking till today. With the growth of modern banking, various regulations evolved to take care of complexity of banking transactions. It is imperative that one is aware of such regulations and know what they mean under the law. Today, we are going to discuss very important banking regulation enacted post-independence. That is the Banking Regulation Act. This chapter will let you know important provisions of the Banking Regulation Act. Before we actually enter into the Banking Regulation Act, we should know what exactly a regulation is. A regulation may refer to written instruments containing rules that have force of law, a process of promulgation, monitoring, and enforcement of rules, creation, limitation, or constraining a right, creating or limiting a duty, and allocating a responsibility. There are various forms of regulations: legal restrictions promulgated by the government, contractual obligations arising out of a contract, self-regulation adopted by an industry, which is banking for us, or an association of banking, which is the Indian Banks Association. And finally, the market regulates the industry. In the previous slide, we saw various forms of regulations, which is the primary legislation. In its legal sense, regulation can and should be distinguished from primary legislation, which is by the parliament on the one hand and the judge-made law on the other. So the primary legislation is that legislation which is passed by the parliament. What are the origins of regulations? Regulations of business existed in the ancient, early Egyptian, Indian, Greek, and the Roman civilizations. Beginning in the late 19th and 20th century, much of regulation was administered and enforced by regulatory agencies, which produced their own administrative law and procedures under the authority of statutes. Why do we need banking regulations? Forms of government regulations which provides guidelines, mentions requirements, and imposes restrictions on banks. Regulatory structure creates transparency between bank, individual, corporation with whom they do business. Regulatory agency maintains control over the standardized practices. What are the objectives of banking regulations? To protect the depositors, to direct credit to priority sectors, to protect customer information, to avoid misuse of the banks, as we see in the recent money laundering and financial terrorism. Too big to fail notion. When you have regulations, there is a confidence in the public that some regulatory authority is governing the industry. And that's how we say too big to fail nation, to reduce the risk of bank failures through government bailouts. What are the general principles of bank regulations? Minimum requirements based on the level of risk exposure, which is the risk-based assets to be maintained. Regulator supervises the licensed banks for compliance. We have a very famous Basel Committee in its third phase. Banks to publicly disclose the financial and other information and establish market discipline, especially on the risk and the interest rates. Banking scene post-independence. We have seen in the evolution of banking in India, what was the scenario before independence and what was the scenario after independence. The post-independence scenario was abuse of power by persons controlling some banks, absence of measures for safeguarding the interests of depositors and economy. As a result, we saw so many banks fail during that period. A need was felt to consolidate and amend the law relating to the banking companies. That's how the Banking Companies Act 1949 took birth. Banking Companies Act was first enacted in 1949, it was passed to consolidate and amend the law relating to banking companies. But we are studying Banking Regulation Act, isn't it? What is Banking Companies Act and Banking Regulation Act? We'll see that in the next slide. Banking Companies Act was renamed as Banking Regulation Act. That was a separate legislation. The name of the Banking Companies Act 1949 was changed to Banking Regulation Act 1949 with effect from the 1st of March 1966. By an amending act, the Banking Laws Application to Cooperative Societies Act 1965. And this very amendment brought the cooperative banks under the ambit of RBI. Cooperative banks, we'll see in the next slides, it was solely regulated by the Cooperative Societies Registrar. But after 1966, all the banking activities were regulated by RBI because of this amendment. There were special provisions. Any reference to the Banking Companies Act, the previous Banking Companies Act, in any law constitute as a reference to a Banking Regulation Act. So there won't be any confusion that previous regulations in the Banking Companies Act, what happened to that? Yes, they will be obeyed. Provisions of the Act are in addition to, keep this in mind, provisions of the Act are in addition to and not in derogation of the Companies Act 1956. Companies Act is a masterpiece regulating the companies. So nothing will be derogatory to the Companies Act 1956. Example, Companies Act requires registration and incorporation of a company for carrying on banking business, but there is no such provision in the Banking Regulation Act 1949. Similarly, the application of other laws affecting banking companies are expressly saved. Which are the other laws? Negotiable Instrument Act 1881, Indian Contract Act 1872, Transfer of Property Act 1882, Bankers Book Evidence Act 1881, and so many others. The Banking Regulation Act provides a framework for the regulation and supervision of commercial banking activities. It extends to the whole of India. Let's see the structure of the Act. The Banking Regulation Act is divided into 10 parts, and each part deals with specific topic. The first part says about the preliminaries, and that is covered from Section 1 to Section 5A. The second part talks about business of banking companies and is covered from Section 6 to 36A. Second part A talks about the control over management and has sections covering from 36AA to 36AC. Second B contains prohibitions of certain activities, which is expressly specified in Section 36AD. Second C covers acquisition of undertakings as well as suspension of business. That is covered in Section 36A to 36AG. Section 2C contains acquisition of undertaking. Section 3 contains suspension of business and winding up of a company, which is covered in Section 36B to Section 45. Section 3A contains special provisions for speedy disposal of suspension and winding up, which are contained in Section 45A to Section 45X. Section 3B contains certain operations of banking company, which are covered in Section 45Y to Section 45ZF. Part 4 contains miscellaneous provisions, which are contained in Section 46 to Section 55. And finally, the Part 5, which talks about application of Banking Regulation Act to cooperative banks also, and which is exclusively covered under Section 56. This Act does not apply, as is stated, in section 3 to Primary Agriculture Credit Society, a cooperative land mortgage bank, any other cooperative society, except in certain cases. Cooperative banks will be governed in the manner and to the extent specified in Chapter 5, which is Section 56. Power to suspend operation of the Act. Such a big thing to do. But who can do it? Only and only the central government. Again, that too, on representation made by the Reserve Bank of India. How much time? They will suspend the operation of all or any part of the Act for a period not exceeding 60 days by a notification in the official gazette. In case of an special emergency, the Governor of Reserve Bank of India may also suspend operation for a period not exceeding 30 days. So the central government up to 60 days, the Governor of RBI up to 30 days. Now our approach to study the Banking Regulation Act would be not each section after each section, because if we see the approach in the Act, various themes are combined and put into different parts. Section 5 contains all the interpretations and definitions of various words or terms used in the Act. So Section 5 will be covering all the interpretations. So we have picked up some important interpretations which will be more relevant for our banking. And this starts with the first definition. What is banking? Banking is defined under Section 5B as accepting. What accepting? Accepting, of course, deposits. Accepting for the purpose of two things: lending as well as investment. Accepting for the purpose of lending investments of deposits of money. From whom? From the public. Repayable, this money accepted from the public has to be repaid by a banking company when repayable on demand or otherwise also. And withdrawal by check, draft or otherwise. Otherwise means all the electronic payments we are using now, that is ATM cards, your internet banking, your mobile banking, etc. So this has been already provided under Section 5B of the Banking Regulation Act. So this banking definition is very important for studying our banking fundamentals. Section 5C. Section 5C says banking company is what? Banking company simply means any company which transacts the business of banking in India. Business of banking in India. Now here again, banking, we have to refer to Section 5B as explained in the previous slide. So any company which does the business of banking as defined in Section 5B will be called a banking company. Any company which is engaged in the manufacture of goods or carries on any trade and which accepts deposits of money from the public merely for the purpose of financing its business as such manufacturer trader shall not be deemed to transact the business of banking within the meaning of this clause. Banks don't deal with goods. Bank deals with only money. That is an important point to be brought out from this definition. Section 5CA defines banking policy. We hear various banking policies from RBI, from the central government, from the banks itself. What is this banking policy? Banking policy means any policy which is specified from time to time by the Reserve Bank in the interest of the banking system or in the interest of monetary stability or sound economic growth, having due regard to the interest of the depositors. Depositors are the most important for framing any banking policy, whether it is RBI or anybody else. The volume of deposits and other resources of the bank and the need for equitable allocation and the efficient use of deposits and resources. Section 5CC says, what is a branch? The branch or a branch office in relation to a banking company means any branch or branch office, whether called a pay office or sub-pay office by any other name, at which deposits are received, checks cashed or monies lent, and for the purpose of section 35 includes any place of business where any other form of business referred to in subsection 1 of section 6 is transacted. We haven't reached section 6, but when we reach section 6, I will remind you the section 5, what banking activities are allowed, because section 6 specifies certain activities which can be over and above those activities which are defined under section 5B. Some other definitions, a very important definition of demand liabilities and your time liabilities. Time liabilities are also called term liabilities. Why are they important? You must be hearing CRR, cash reserve, SLR, statutory liquidity reserve. They are based on the demand liabilities and the time liabilities. Demand liability simply means liabilities which must be met on demand, and time liability simply means which are not on demand. Section 5N makes a mention of secured loan and unsecured loan. Like anybody takes a loan, bank gives a loan on the basis of some security. So whenever a loan or advance is made on the security of assets which has a market value and is not at any time less than the amount of such loan or advance are called secured loan or advances. Whereas unsecured loan or advance simply means no security to fall back in case of default. After finishing various definitions and interpretations as given in the Banking Regulation Act, we are going to enter into a very important part defined in Banking Regulation Act 1949, which is how a business of banking should be run. What are the provisions made for running a business of banking? Section 6, as I was referring when I was discussing Section 5, it talks about what works bank may engage in over and above as defined in Section 5B. Let's see one by one. Banking Regulation Act elaborately specifies the other forms of business. Please note, other forms of business. Other forms of business means other than that mentioned in Section 5B. Other forms of business which a banking company may carry on in addition to banking as defined in Section 5B. This includes issuing demand drafts and traveler's checks, collection of checks, bills of exchange, discounting and purchase of bills, hiring out safe deposit lockers, issuing letters of credits and guarantees, sale and purchase of foreign exchange, offering custodial services, offering investment services. So when you visit any branch office and try to understand the different products and services, a bank can offer all its products and services only and only if it falls under this category. Otherwise, it cannot do any business relating with those products and services. We will see in the next slides which business cannot be done by a banking company. Let's finish off this, which are more other permissible activities as per Section 6. Doing all such other things as are incidental or conducive to the promotion or advancement of the business of the company, any other form of business which the central government may by notification in the official gazette specify as a form of business in which it is lawful for a bank manager to engage, undertaking and executing trust, administration of estates, executor, trustee, or otherwise. Again, there is one more slide. Carrying on transactions of every kind of guarantees and indemnity business, specifically for importers and exporters. Acting as an agent to government or local authority, especially for collecting the taxes of government, both direct tax as well as indirect taxes. Acquisition, construction, maintenance, alteration of any buildings or works necessary for the purpose of the company. This is a recent addition as a permissible activity. Banker can act as a pension fund manager. Acting as a pension fund manager has been notified under Section 6, Subclause 1, Subclause 0 of the Banking Regulation Act 1949 as a form of business in which the banking companies may engage. Now we move to Section 7, which says which companies can use the word bank, banker, banking. No company other than a banking company. Remember, banking company, we have already defined that under Section 5C. No company other than the banking company shall use as part of its name or in connection with its business any of the word bank, banker, or banking. No company shall carry on the business of banking in India, this is very important, unless it uses as part of its name at least one of such words. No firm, individual, or group of individuals shall, for the purpose of carrying on any business, use as part of his name any of the words bank, banking, or banking company, which means only a banking company can use the word bank, banker, or banking for promoting its business. No other company or firm can use these words, specifically provided under Section 7 of Banking Regulation Act. Which are the exempted bodies from restrictions of Section 7? That means they can use these words. A subsidiary of a banking company formed for one or more of the purposes mentioned under subsection 1 of Section 19, whose name indicates that it is a subsidiary of a banking company. So this is the first exception. The second exception is any association of bank formed for the protection of their mutual interest and registered under Section 25 of the Companies Act. Section 25 are all those government companies which are formed on no profit, no loss basis. Section 8. Now we saw in Section 6 what are the activities that are permitted. Section 8, Section 9 specifically talks about which activities are prohibited. Let's see Section 8 first. Section 8, no banking company shall directly or indirectly deal with the buying or selling of, bartering of goods. As I said earlier, banks do not deal with goods. Bank deals only with money. Hence, no banking company shall directly or even indirectly deal in buying or selling of, bartering of goods, except in connection with the realization of securities. Like suppose you have already given a loan and the loans are secured by your working capital, goods, or any other plant and machinery, in which case the bankers can sell off these securities for realizing its dues. Only in that case, that is the reason, except in connection with realization of securities given to or held by it. Section 8 continued, again, or engage in any trade, not only direct or indirect buying or selling, but it cannot engage in any trade or buy, sell, or barter goods for others otherwise than in connections with bill of exchange, received for collection or negotiation, or with such of its business as referred to clause 1 of subsection 1 of section 6. Section 8 says restriction shall not apply. If this restriction shall not apply, in respect of those functions or any other forms of business which the central government may, by notification in the official gazette, specify as a form of business which is lawful for a banking company to engage. So only and only if the central government notifies in the official gazette that a particular form of business is lawful for a banking company, then and then only the restriction shall not apply. What does goods mean? We were speaking about bankers cannot deal with goods. It cannot directly or indirectly buy or sell the goods. What does this goods mean? Can we differentiate goods from money? Let's see that. Goods means every kind of movable property other than your actionable claims, stock share money, bullion and species of it, and all instruments referred to in clause A of subsection 1 of section 6. To give an example, promissory notes, railway receipts, debentures, traveler's checks, etc. So goods means every kind of movable property other than actionable claims, stock, shares, money, bullion and species, and all instruments referred to in subclause A. Okay. Section 9 of disposal of non-banking assets. No banking company shall hold any immovable property howsoever acquired for any period exceeding 7 years. Maximum limit to keep the security is 7 years from the date of acquisition thereof. What happens beyond 7 years? The banking company may, within this period of 7 years, as aforesaid, deal or trade in such property for the facilitation of disposal thereof, except as is required for its own use. For its own use, it can have for more than 7 years, but otherwise, maximum 7 years. Within 7 years, it has to deal or trade in such properties specifically taken as security. The Reserve Bank may, in any particular case, based on the reasons given by the bank, based on the justifications provided by the bank, extend the aforesaid period of 7 years for a maximum period of 5 more years, where it is satisfied that such extension would be in the interest of the depositors of the banking company. If it is for speculation, sorry, RBI won't extend it. But it is specifically for the interest of the depositors of the banking company, RBI in such scenario can extend the period for a further period of 5 more years. Another prohibition of employment of managing agents and restrictions on certain forms of employment. What are these? No banking company shall employ or be managed by a managing agent. This is a big section, so we have broken down into different slides. So let us keep continuity from one slide to another slide. So the first slide says, no banking company shall employ, means who cannot be employed, that is specified in section A, B and C. So let's read out, employ or be managed by a managing agent, or employ or continue the employment of any person, or shall be managed by any person. Who are this any person? Who is a director of any other company not being a subsidiary of a banking company or a company registered under section 25 of Companies Act 1956, who is engaged in any other business or vocation, whose term of office as a person managing the company is for a period exceeding 5 years in one go, who has been, now this is very important, a banking company cannot employ whom, the first entity which cannot be employed, who has been adjudicated insolvent or has suspended payment or has compounded with his creditors or who has been convicted by a criminal court of an offense involving moral turpitude. The second category which cannot be employed is whose remuneration or part of whose remuneration takes the form of commission or a share of the profits of the company. The third category is whose remuneration is, in the opinion of Reserve Bank of India, very, very excessive. There are certain exceptions for employing such people. It shall not apply if that matter or the compensation is in the form of any bonus, in pursuance of a settlement or an award, any commission to any broker employed under a contract, but not as a staff. Contractual obligations, okay, but not as a staff. Prohibition shall not apply for a period of 3 months to 9 months, as allowed by RBI. But provided that the term of office of any such person may be renewed or extended by further period not exceeding 5 years. Such renewal or extension shall not be sanctioned at the close end, but earlier than 2 years from the date on which it is to come into force. If the term of office is for an indefinite period, what should be done? Such term shall come to an end immediately on the expiry of 5 years from the date of his appointment, or on the expiry of 3 months from the date of commencement of Section 8 of Banking Laws, Miscellaneous Provisions Act 1953, whichever is later. So maximum period can be continued is 5 years. What does the term remuneration include? Remuneration includes your salary, fees, as well as perquisites, but does not include any allowances or other amounts paid to him for the purpose of reimbursing him in respect of the expenses actually incurred by him in the performance of his duties. Reserve Bank may inform its opinion having regard to the financial conditions and the history of the banking company, its size and area of operation, its resources, the volume of its business, and the trend of earning capacity, the number of its branches or office, the qualifications, age and experience, or the persons concerned, the remuneration paid to any person occupying a similar position, the interest of his depositors. RBI has full authority to give its directions, to give its suggestions on the points mentioned on this slide. So we are on the management of a banking company. We have seen the business of banking company in the previous part. Now we will see the management of banking company, which executives or which officers of a banking company can manage a banking company. The most important person who are managing are the directors of the company. The directors constitute a board. So the board of directors should include the persons with professional or other experience. What does that mean? Not less than 51% of the total number of members of the board of directors of the banking company shall consist of persons who have special knowledge or practical experience in respect of one or more of the following matters, namely, not less than 2 shall be persons having special knowledge or practical experience in respect of agriculture and rural economy, cooperation or small-scale industry. What does special knowledge mean? Special knowledge or practical experience can be any out of this, that is accountancy, agriculture and rural economy, banking, cooperation, economics, finance, law, small-scale industries, and any other matter. The special knowledge of and practical experience which would, in the opinion of the Reserve Bank of India, be useful to the banking company. Any knowledge which has no usefulness to the banking company has no relevance in the board to give directions for running or managing a banking company. That is the gist of this section. We have seen a recent case of Yes Bank. There was a dispute going on for becoming a director of the company. The professional dispute turned out in the matter of court. The dispute is still unresolved in the court. It is on who can be appointed as a director. So since it is court's matter, the outcome will come over a period of time. But the point to take is the qualifications of the director. The Banking Regulation Act specifically makes a mention of what are the qualifications of the director, and the board of director is very much particular on identifying its directors having a solid base or experience both practically as well as academically in those respective fields mentioned in the last slide. The board of directors shall not have a substantial interest in or be connected with whether as employee, manager or managing agent of any company, not being a company registered under Section 25. It should not have substantial interest, otherwise the decisions can be tuned to its interest. We have a famous example of Mr. Aditya Birla. He resigned from the RBI board because the Birla Group of Company has applied for a new banking license. Since there should be no conflict of interest between a decision-making body and a license application body, Mr. Birla found it best to resign and he's out of the board. This is specifically coming under this point. There should be no substantial interest or any sort of interest which can result into a conflict for a decision. B, proprietors of any trading, commercial or industrial concern, not being a small scale industrial concern. What is the tenure of a chairman or a whole time director? No director of a banking company other than its chairman or whole time director shall continuously hold his office for a period exceeding 8 years. The RBI may direct the banking company to reconstitute the board if the company does not fulfill the requirements. A proper set board not fulfilling the requirements can be reconstituted on RBI's directions. Every appointment, removal, reconstitution or even election of the director shall be final and shall not be called into question by any court. Banking company to be managed by whole-time chairman. One of the directors has to be appointed as a chairman. The board appoints the chairman, either as a whole-time director or as a chairman of its board, and he shall be entrusted with the management of the whole of the affairs of the banking company. The chairman shall exercise his powers subject to the superintendence, control and direction of the board of directors. Where a chairman is not a full-time, he is appointed on a part-time basis, what should be done? Such appointment shall be within the previous approval of RBI. Previous approval of RBI is a must for appointing a part-time chairman. The management of the whole of the efforts of such banking company shall be entrusted to the managing director, who shall exercise such power subject to superintendence, control and direction of the board of directors. What is the tenure of a managing director? Every chairman or a board of director who is appointed on a whole time basis and every managing director shall be in the whole time employment, shall hold office for a period not exceeding 5 years. As the board of directors may fix, but shall be subject to the provisions, he can be eligible for re-election or reappointment, but maximum tenure is 5 years. The power of Reserve Bank of India to appoint a chairman of a banking company, where the office of the chairman appointed on a whole time or the managing director of a banking company is vacant, not otherwise, is vacant, the Reserve Bank may, if it is of the opinion that the continuation of such vacancy, please note, continuation of such vacancy is likely to adversely affect the interest of the banking company, then it can appoint an eligible person to to be the chairman of the board of directors, either on a whole-time basis or even a managing director of the banking company for a period not exceeding 3 years. So in order to run the banking company in the interest of the public, RBI can step in if there is a vacancy of a managing director or a chairman and appoint any eligible person, not any person, only an eligible person, fulfilling those criteria mentioned in the previous slides, for a maximum period of 3 years. Chairman and certain directors not to be required to hold qualification shares. They need not hold qualification shares. A chairman or board of directors is appointed on a whole-time basis, or a managing director of a banking company and a director of a banking company appointed by the Reserve Bank of India under Section 10A shall not be required to hold qualification shares in the banking company, specifically provided under this part. What are the powers of RBI to remove? Can the RBI remove a chairman or a managing director? Of course, yes. But when? It does not fit a proper person to hold office. It cannot just remove. If it finds a person not a fit, it has to give a reasonable opportunity of being heard. Order banking company to either elect or appoint another person for the residual period within a period of 2 months, maximum 2 months. If the banking company fails to do so within a period of 2 months, what is to be done? RBI may remove such person and appoint a suitable person in his place. That has been exclusively provided in this act. So RBI can step in to appoint a chairman or a managing director, as well as it can remove a chairman and a managing director, of course, following certain procedure. When a chairman or a managing director dies, what is to be done? When a person appointed as a whole-time basis as a chairman or a managing director, either he dies or he resigns, or some infirmity or otherwise, which renders him incapable of carrying out his duties. The show has to run, so some provision has to be made. What is to be done? Under such circumstances, please note, these circumstances are not involving the vacation. Vacation means there is some emptiness, something has to be appointed. In this case, appointment has already been done, but a temporary absenteeism has been created because of the death or the resignation or some infirmity or otherwise, in which case, what the RBI has to do? The banking company may, with the approval of RBI, make a suitable arrangement for carrying out the duty of the chairman managing director for a period not exceeding 4 months. After that, it has to fall back and follow a proper course for appointing the vacancy.